Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Middle of July and a good time to talk about agriculture in the Umpqua Valley with Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about, you know, everybody's sort of been watching the weather situation right now. Heat obviously has impacts on agriculture, has impacts on a lot of things, but how quickly does this change things for some of the folks, some of the farmers, even just some of the backyard gardeners?
Yeah, well, heat can be a good thing, right? We need heat for crop growth, but when it gets excessive like this, we do want to be really careful on A, being outside. Heat illness can happen really quickly, but we want to be watching our crops too. In permanent crops like blueberries, when we get up past 95, we can start running into crop damage. That can also happen in a variety of other permanent crops, but we can also run into wilting or damage on our annual vegetable crops too.
And how do you deal with that? I mean, you can't stop the heat. What do you do?
Great question. So for vegetable gardeners, watering in the morning and then maybe again in the evening is a good way to keep that soil a little bit cooler and help with those vegetables to keep them alive. If you've got something like blueberries, if you have the ability to overhead irrigate, you can actually create like a microclimate around the berries and lower that temperature a little bit. If we're close to 100, that might be worth doing. Once we get over 100, that can be it can still be too hot even with that overhead irrigation.
Now, for people that are backyard gardening, where are we at kind of cycle-wise in terms of what things are probably starting to be harvested?
Great question. So it kind of depends on what you planted when. We just got finished harvesting lettuce. We're harvesting radishes in the next couple days. Tomatoes are starting to turn, so we harvested our first cherry sun golds this week, and then we're starting to see like the San Marzanos, some of those paste tomatoes starting to turn as well. And we're getting ready to start, well, we actually sowed our winter crops. They're just popping up out of their seedling trays now, and we'll be planting those probably next week.
And what about things that, are there any things that you could, I mean, is it too late to start?
Oh, no.
Something?
No, so our average first frost date is, well, it's like midway into November, November 11th, so I guess a little bit into November. And you've got plenty of time to still be planting several vegetables. We just direct sowed beans yesterday, and we also direct sowed beets. It might be a little bit too early for that, but we'll see what happens.
And what's the most common question you get from backyard gardeners this time of year?
Largely, we have folks looking at their soil quality, whether they should be fertilizing, what kind of watering they should be doing, and if there's still time to plant, which I've been hearing a lot lately. And yes, there definitely is.
What about the situation right now with the wine grapes?
So wine grapes are still growing. Some varieties might be headed towards veraison. So far, things are looking good. I've seen a lot of grapes doing very well. Haven't seen a lot of major issues yet.
And of course, though, we're looking at forecasts that seem to indicate it's going to be a warm rest of the summer.
Yeah, which can be a good thing and a bad thing. If it gets really, really hot, we could run into issues with wilting or split. Hopefully, we don't run into those issues with wine grapes. The other issue that we're hoping not to see a lot of this year is smoke. So all of those are contributing factors.
And that's an interesting one there, because we've had some years, last couple haven't been as bad, where smoke really ended up being a big deal in the wine industry.
Yeah, there's some research going on in Southern Oregon down in Medford about that right now, but it's something we're definitely keeping an eye on.
And for some people, you know, it's having to maybe sometimes essentially scrap part of a crop, just feeling like it's not going to come out worth it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth paying attention to if you've got smoke in your vineyard. It's something you want to. There's actual variables you can measure based on the kind of grapes you have and how much smoke you've gotten. That's something that's worth doing.
And that's one of the things about doing this, whether it's backyard gardening, whether it's the big agricultural farms, whether it is the wine industry locally, is that you can do everything textbook correct and then get weather thrown at you when you don't want it, and you possibly lost a bunch of money, if not certainly a lot of effort gone down sideways.
It's definitely worth paying attention to what the weather forecast is going to be, and we can actually look at variable weather trends throughout the years. And you're right, no matter what, there are anomalous events that can happen, but we can prepare a little bit for that. And that's one of the things that Extension's really good at, is kind of giving you an idea of what we may be doing or what we may be looking at for the upcoming year. And so it's always a good idea to reach out to us, whether it's something you've been growing for a long time, you have a question, or if it's something brand new that you're thinking about getting into, we can help.
Now, with the diversity of climate here, the different soils, the microclimates, and all of that, it seems amazing how many different things grow here well.
Yeah. If you end up at the Douglas County Fair this year, which I know you will, Kyle, come by the Extension booth. I'll be talking about the agricultural history of Douglas County. That's a little hint as to what we were originally told we would be good at growing here. But we do really, really well. We can grow a really wide variety of crops. And we have a really rich history of cropping types here, too. From turkeys to hops, we've grown a lot of things in Douglas County.
Now, for instance, turkeys are not particularly an item now. Any idea how we shifted away from that?
Well, there's several different reasons why we may have shifted away from turkeys specifically, but we found that we can grow other crops and livestock really well here. For example, we grow a lot of sheep. We have a lot of cattle here, too.
And a number of things that folks have been told, well, you can't possibly grow that here. People have.
Yeah, I actually work with one producer who has bananas, papayas, and guavas growing in their greenhouse here.
And see, I just had somebody else tell me recently that you couldn't grow any of those things here.
It's got to be in a greenhouse, can't do it outside, but it is possible.
And what else do you have to do to make that work? What's the element about the greenhouse that makes a difference?
Right, so it keeps it warm all year long, and it keeps it humid all year long. So those tropical plants need both of those elements, whereas a lot of the things we grow outside don't.
What do you see about in the farming community? I mean, there are a lot of longtime farms. We've seen folks retire out of the industry. Do you see more younger people getting in?
Yeah, I'm really happy to report that I am working with a few different younger farmers. Some folks are first-time farmers, which is really awesome. Some are inheriting land and going into the business. There's definitely some of that going on. There also is occasionally some succession classes that we'll offer at Oregon State University. So if you've got a farm and you are thinking about what's going to happen to it when you're done farming, sometimes that can be a resource we can offer as well.
Well, and also, not everybody has kids or others in their family that want to take it over.
Sure. So it's definitely something that we want to be thinking about in advance of retiring from farming. And that's a question you can call us up about. And if we aren't having a class on that in the near future, we can offer some resources for that too.
Well, yeah, and especially, I mean, really at just about any middle age and up, you know, life could throw curveballs and you never know what could happen. And to not have a plan is not having a plan.
Yeah, in general, it's a good idea to think about the potential things that or potential options that you have. And there are resources out there in Oregon and beyond that can help you plan for the future and plan for those unplanned events.
And how do you feel like the local ag community is doing in comparison to what you see nationally with so many of the big farming groups?
We're doing pretty well, and of course I have a bias because I love our local ag community, but we've got a lot of crops going. We have several healthy farmers markets here. Blueberries are looking great this year. We're even a little bit early on harvest, so things are going well here.
Do you see, are more people picking up blueberries?
Yeah. You mean like more being planted or more being harvested? A little bit. We have several really good blueberry farms here. Pretty recently, in the last couple of years, a new blueberry farm went in just north of us. So, yeah, there's some more blueberries being planted.
All right, we're going to take a break, talk more about ag, also about classes coming up and other things from Extension with Logan Bennett. The interview and podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson, One True Wealth Radio at 4 o'clock. And tomorrow, we talk with Chris Wiley, Roseburg Public Library, Harry Potter Day, about a week and a half away. We'll cover that and other things happening at the library as well. We're talking agriculture today. Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. This time of year, you don't really have a break, because agriculture is like a year-round thing.
You're right, but you're also right that this time of year is full swing. So not only am I working with farmers one-on-one, but we're also offering several programs this year teaching folks how to farm. And on top of that, I'm running four pretty decent-sized gardens myself.
Wow. And just ones that you're doing?
Yeah, they're for programs that we're doing. So, for example, we've got a program this year called Boots on the Ground, Hands in the Soil. This is a program specifically for veterans where we meet pretty much on the last Friday every month. And we talk about different agricultural topics, and we're actually growing food right now with them so that they can learn everything from how to plant a radish seed to how to implement an irrigation system.
Wow. And how's that been going?
Oh, it's so fun. We have room for 10. We've got 6 members right now, so there's still room to sign up, and it's free. The Master Gardener Association sponsored it this year. We did vegetable crops and soil science in June. This month, we're going to be talking about winter crops, and we're going to be actually out sowing winter seeds and starting seeds.
And what's the unique aspect of it being a veterans group?
Yeah, so one of the really big things about this being a veterans group is we have a master gardener named Donetta Loomis who is running the program. I'm more of in a support role this time around, so we have a veteran running the veterans program, and this is not only providing community and therapeutic benefits, but it's also teaching folks how to start their own business or start their own garden.
Wow. Now, what else do you have going on this summer?
Yeah, we've also got the Tribal Roots Horticulture Program. We had it this morning. It's the third Tuesday and last Saturday of each month, and it's a similar thing. We're teaching entrepreneurial skills, how to grow your own veg, and really how to be outside and work in the garden kind of thing.
And in the summertime, do you find yourself with a lot of smaller group kind of things then?
We're trying both of these this year. This is relatively new. For the most part, during the summer, I do a lot of site visits, one-on-one follow-ups, and we try to do some classes at least one a month. But we thought we've got this ground, and we're really excited about helping folks and teaching, so let's try these programs and see how they work out.
And what are the other things you have going on?
Yeah, so folks might be familiar with the Pavilion Series. We've been doing it for 2 or 3 years now. We have 2 coming up in August. On August 10th, we have a Dehydrating Your Harvest class. So we're partnering with the Master Food Preservers, and we're going to teach folks how to dehydrate food that they might be harvesting that time of year. So what veg can we use? And then on the 14th, we're going to be doing a Canning Your Harvest class. So both of those are free. They're both going to be really fun, show you how to preserve your food for long-term storage and how to use it later. And those will be great to attend.
And talk about a little bit more about this Tribal Roots class, what you're doing there.
Yeah, so Tribal Roots Horticulture is a blend of cultural and traditional ecological knowledge paired with agriculture. So we're not only growing food, we're talking about connections to the land, connections to community, and we're trying to incorporate cultural aspects into it too.
Interesting. And you've got something called compost tea.
Yeah, so we have a compost tea class coming up. We're partnering with Heal Terra on August 23rd. That should be a pretty fun class. The idea here is we're going to go through how can you make tea out of your compost in a scale of a 5-gallon bucket in your backyard, all the way up to how do they do it commercially. We'll talk about the benefits of using compost versus compost tea and how to extend those nutritional benefits throughout your whole garden.
So, compost tea, I have to say, was a new one for me.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that.
So, essentially, you're taking the nutrition or the nutrients out of that compost and distilling it into a liquid fertilizer. And there are a little bit more intricacies in that, which we'll talk about during the class, but it's a great way to use your compost as a foliar amendment to get quick boosts in your veg and get better yields.
And so does that go, are you putting that then on other plants or what?
Yeah. So compost tea can be used not only on vegetables, of course, it can be used on any kind of plants. But the idea here is making the nutrition or the nutrients from that compost more readily available, so it's faster for take up. Now, there are things we need to know about compost tea, like how long it lasts and what the biological profile looks like within that essentially amendment. So we'll be going over those in more detail.
Now, we've talked about berries a lot, but there's something you have in September, kind of aimed more at the coastal part of the county.
Yeah, so I'm going to be in Winchester Bay on September 13th. I'm partnering with the Umpqua Soil Water Conservation District, and we're going to be talking about how to grow berries and manage nutrition on the coast. It's a little bit different than in the valley. There's a very different climate over there, and depending on where you're at, there's some pretty unique soils, too.
Now, and obviously, you know, once you get to Elkton and further over, you can look at weather data, highs, lows, the amount of rain goes way up.
Yes.
So, yeah, that would make sense that there's a big difference there. One of the other things I wanted to ask about relates to the climate to some extent is watering this time of year, whether it is out on a big farm, whether it's your yard. What are some of the things that people do wrong?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to water your plants. One thing I'd really recommend is either doing it in the morning or in the evening. If we're watering during the middle of the day, we run into an issue with high evapotranspiration. And what that means is how fast is the water exiting the soil, either in steam form or just going through the ground profile. We're not getting as much water as we're putting onto the plants in the middle of the day. We're going to get much more utilization in the morning or in the afternoon, or in the evening, excuse me, not in the afternoon.
So say that again,
evapotranspiration.
Evapotranspiration. You have learned a new word.
Yeah. How is the water being uptaken by the plant? How much of it is leaving the soil and how much is leaving the plants without being used? Evapotranspiration.
And I saw one of my water bills, I guess last week, and we know that it's going to go up because we do water, and we're willing to pay for that. But then, I do it at pretty much the right time. It's mid to late evening. Sometimes it's 5 or 6 in the morning. But sometimes when I'm out, I see people watering at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, and I mean, you still will get water on the plants, but the things to think about there is how much of it's actually being utilized. And the other thing to think about, especially if you're growing plants that are susceptible to fungal infections, is are you creating a really humid environment around that plant? So if you have squash, for example, watering during the afternoon may increase your chances of powdery mildew. If you have blueberries, watering during mid-afternoon may increase your chance of spotted-winged Drosophila, because they like humid environments. Sometimes it can't be avoided. For example, if it's 100 degrees outside and you're using overhead to lower the temperature around your blueberries. But if we can avoid it, for the most part, it's better to.
And even with all those factors, just the fact that you're paying for the water, and if half of it's evaporating, you're paying too much.
Right. Yes, we can certainly be more cost effective and more economic with our water if we're watering in the morning or in the evening. Basically, when the sun is not out in full swing, we're going to be more efficient.
Which is why for a lot of people, having an in-ground sprinkler system that you can program really helps out. I know at one point I had ours programmed to go off at like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can, oftentimes using drip irrigation is actually better for the plants. And it'll save you on water, too.
Wow. About a minute left. What else do folks need to know about ag in the summer?
Big thing coming up I wanted to mention is the Master Gardener training is starting September 2nd. We are actively recruiting for that, and we're running out of spaces. So if you're interested in the Master Gardener program, reach out now.
All right. And if people want to find out more about any of the things we talked about today, because I know we covered a long list of things, how do they get connected?
Yeah, feel free to reach out to the Extension office. You can give me a call there. My number is 541-236-3015, or you can shoot me an email.
And your email is?
Logan.Bennett@OregonState.edu.
All right. Summer Ag in Douglas County. Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.